no one's perfect, even if we secretly believe they are. So if you've been struggling and failing to keep it all together, you're in good company. Women today are pushing harder than ever to do it all and break through their personal limits. But what if we're pushing in the wrong direction? Join a growing movement of women exploring their boundaries as opportunities. Be empowered by their experiences to create a best life that reflects your expectations and no one else's. If you're ready for a different kind of podcast, then you've arrived. Welcome to Woman of Valor. This week's episode of the Woman of Valor podcast was sponsored by supporters of Chazkenu in honor of the founder, Zahava List, being interviewed in this week's episode. Chazkenu is a peer-led organization strengthening and empowering Jewish women with mental health struggles. So if you're a woman living with any mental health challenge or coping with a family member struggling, they invite you to join them. Please call, email, or check out their website. Phone number is 314-346-7414. Their website is www.chazkenu.org. And their email is chazkenu@gmail.com. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have real beef with people not understanding the concept of mental illness. Somebody has an illness and they're like, whoa, how can I be there for you? You're so strong. You're so amazing. You're really pushing through. Good for you. And then you put the word mental in front of it. And then it's all like chicks got the cooties. Like, no, that's not really how it works. And I'm incredibly thankful that the creator of a women's organization solely for women who are struggling with mental illness to come and discuss their trials and just be there for each other. Zahava List is here on the show. Zahava is somebody with a bipolar diagnosis. And despite having a bipolar diagnosis, she is an incredible human being. She's a wonderful wife. She's a great mother. And I don't think people understand that that's actually possible. I get so many messages from people who are dating and they're like, I don't think I'm ever going to get married. Nobody's setting me up because I'm on medications or because I have a diagnosis. Can everybody please just get over themselves and get with the reality that mental illness is not the cooties. Mental illness is something real. It's something that more people than would like to admit have. And if they're admitting it and if they're getting help with it, then they're already ahead of the game. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. Hi, Zahava. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and one thing that you love about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here. This is so exciting. So my name is Zahava List and I live here in Baltimore, Maryland, and what do I love about myself? I would say the one thing I really enjoy is that when I get, you know, I'll talk a little bit about my mood, but when I get in the mood, I'm motivated to do something, I will see it from start to finish. Sometimes that could get me into trouble, but I get myself involved completely into things once I start.
Me too. So I think we both need to be a little careful about what we say yes to. I personally have a very hard time saying no, but I'm working on it because too much is just too much and can totally impact your mental health. And that's one of the reasons why you're here on the podcast today. Can you please tell us a little bit about the organization that you've created and when it was started? Because I remember when I was just learning about it, when my husband was involved in some of the tech behind the organization. So you start, I'll interrupt you when
you see fit. Sounds good. Yeah. So I want to make a shout out to Sam, who's been our amazing web guy almost since the beginning. So we started in March of 2016. And Chazkenu is a peer support network for all Jewish women with any mental health challenge. And we also include family members. So that's wives, daughters, mothers, etc. And what really made me decide that this was needed was because I myself needed it. I was diagnosed. Now it's going to be almost 15 years ago when I had my first son. I was 23 years old, and mental illness for me was like completely out of my league. I had no idea what was coming to me. And I had a postpartum psychosis, which ended up leading to bipolar one. And I was living in Israel at the time and away from home, away from everything. And I was living like this, like, you know, COLA life with all the other young couples having babies and being like regular bounce back mommies. And I was completely out of control. And so I was very much, I was told by so many different people, don't say anything. There's a really big stigma. You don't know, you know, what people are going to think of you.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's like over half of my life ago.
Exactly. I can't believe it. Yeah.
Like, wow. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not shocked that they told you that. I mean, it's only in recent times that like mental health has become, you know, somewhat destigmatized. I'm going to say somewhat because there is a lot of misunderstanding still. But you can continue about Huskanu because I think it's important and I'm very interested.
Okay. Well, just to respond to that part, I think it's that people nowadays are starting to realize that their next door neighbors, possibly their teachers and principals and anybody in their lives can be
Instagram influencers,
fully functioning. Or exactly. And can be going through this. And you were like, wow, these people are functioning and they're capable and they're talented and they're likable people. And they have this struggle. And I think that that awareness, I mean, it's almost like shocking to me that even in like the general world, public world, even the non-Jewish world, that people have to feel like, okay, let's try to get over the stigma. When like everything goes in this generation. So why doesn't mental illness go? You know, like
right.
It's just mind-boggling. Anyway, so that's, I guess, where we come in. So fast forward, I had two more children after that. Within 10 years, I had 7 different episodes, 3 hospitalizations. It was a lot. It was a lot to go through. And I just felt very much alone. I thank God in my journey, I was able to get a psychiatrist and I was able to get a therapist right away. So I had that. But, you know, seeing in offices of people who are like, yes, you know, we understand, but like, come on, do they really understand? You know, do they really get it? It was really only when I came back to America and I joined the 12-step group that I got that concept of like, wow, you could be in a room full of people who are peers. Everybody gets it. Everybody understands. There's no judgment. You could be as anonymous as you want. And the whole concept of outreach was new to me. That like when I'm not doing well, I'm not like searching for people who can help me. Instead, I'm going to see how I can be helpful, how I can give strength to another person.
Wow.
So that like planted the seeds as much as like the more I got involved with the fellowships there and started my own phone meetings. And I saw how much that once I was connecting specifically to women and then Jewish women and then Jewish women who identify themselves as having a mental illness, I was like, wow, so that, you know, if there's this whole 12-step program, there must be some kind of phone meeting for Jewish women with mental health challenges. Like, there must be that. You know, there's so much out there now. And
how long ago was this? How many years
ago? This is going back 2016. So this is like a little more, almost 5 years ago. Because this was like about
literally after I got married. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is when I started hearing about it.
Oh, that's really, yeah. So, I mean, it's been officially 4 years since we started, but yeah, we're talking about that year before. I was actually just coming out of the hospital at that point. I had my third baby and I was just feeling like there has to be some more support there. And it was at the same time where I got to know someone whose husband had bipolar and she had confided into me because she knew since I had so many psychotic symptoms, I would tell people like my whole life story at certain times. So, and I was in the small community at that point and everybody knew about me. So it was like, once people knew about me, let me talk about it. Cause that would became my coping mechanism to talk
it was
about
already, it was already out in the open anyway. So
yeah, you might as well talk about it anyway. So, but it ended up being really useful because this person was like, I don't know what to do. My husband's feeling like ABC, and I'm like, oh, I get it. That's part of it. This is what I did. This is maybe what you can help him. And it was like a win-win because I was able to understand what my husband felt like. So I not only had experience with the peer aspect, but I also had the opportunity to be exposed to like what it means to be inspired by helping a family member and a family member helping me. So after seeing a flyer about another phone support meeting for women with fertility issues, that like got me like, okay, that's it. There must be something. And the more I looked for a support meeting for women with mental health challenges, like I could not find it. And I said, you know, I was not the type, you know, in that point in my life, I was like in the middle of getting ECT treatments, which is like kind of like the modern day electric shock. Like I was really in a bad place. But I was just so desperate to connect with other women because I knew that it was going to help me. So the first person I contacted was Rabbi Dr. Chorsky. I found his email. Oh, wow. And you were told him, like I said, when I start something, I go. So I told him about my idea and he's like, go for it. He's like, you know, I don't give official endorsements, but go for it. Like, this is great work. And then I spoke to my rabbi and he said, speak to as many therapists, rabbis as you can. And like, tell them your idea. And each one of them, like hands down, didn't know me from anything. We're talking about big names. We're like, this is such important work. And I was almost like, after I started Cheskeno, so many people call me and said, Zahava, I've been wanting to do this for years. I've been trying to do this for years. And I'm like,
so why didn't you? Time.
But like, you know, it's very different. Like I always say about Cheskeno, it's like, you know, throwing a ball into like, you know, a huge, like a massive amount of people and like having people come and catch and wanting to catch it. And like, you know, people could throw out this idea for many years, but it was like, almost like it was the time. You know?
No, for sure. And I remember when I started hearing about it, you know, right after I got married, we moved down the block from Rabbi Klatsko and Shmuel would like go and work there or like we would go there for dinner because I was struggling with Lyme and everything at the time. So like Donnie was like making us dinner and he'd be like, oh, we need help with that Cheskeno thing. And I'm like, what's a Cheskeno? I thought your last name was not a last name. I'm like, oh, what list does she have? Like, I really did not know of it. But like, as time went on, Shmuel would like mention to me, you know, like, oh, Cheskeno, oh, does I have a list? I'm like, oh, that's her last name. Cool. And then I was starting to look into it because I myself was going through, you know, struggles. I kind of disregarded the struggles that I had when I was younger. And like the depression that I had, like post a like vehicle accident, I was like, oh, but that's just related to that. And like, once I started really getting like when I was feeling very ill from the Lyme or, you know, I had peripartum depression and that's when I was like, okay, I need some help. I need some resources. This isn't just like related to an incident. This is like something I need to take care of. And I was looking for, you know, different resources and, you know, I have my own therapist and I have whatever, but not everyone understands what mental illness actually is. Just like people didn't understand what Lyme disease was. I'm going to like, people would just be like, so like, what is it? Like, is it even really a thing? Like I had people being like, oh, like you look fine. So like, why is, you know, this friend helping you and this neighbor bringing you food when you look fine? And I'm just like, what? And because I have that experience from chronic illness, I can make so many comparisons. I did a whole episode on how to help somebody with a chronic illness. And it's almost the same way you can help somebody who has a mental illness. When it's,
exactly.
I don't think people understand that, like, the brain is a very important organ.
Yeah.
And exactly. When something isn't optimal or when something's imbalanced, you know, things can happen and that needs to be seen as serious.
Absolutely.
Like totally. It makes me so mad. I mean, a lot of people are now trying to use different terms for mental illness to like kind of like stress that it's actually an illness. And I'm very thankful for that I'm seeing more resources, especially in the Orthodox Jewish community. I'm very thankful for that. And what I love is that you're catering to women. Like, there's something very special that I find that you are catering only to women. Like, something like when it's men, I'm like, oh, discriminatory. But like, when it's women, I'm like, thank you for giving us our personal space, valuing us. You
exactly.
know, why did you decide to make it, you know, a female only type of thing?
Well, I think that what made us unique, and I started this together with, after I decided I wanted to do this, I thought of a name, and I actually was inspired by the organization Samchenu, which helps widows. And I was like, if they're making organization talking about asking Hashem to make us happy, you know, after such a loss, that I was like, I'm doing this also. I'm gathering people together who have been through the same type of agony and like pain as I've been in, like, what can I do to give each, all of us, like, we should just have strength. And then I was like, Chazkenu. So I was like, it was after that I started and got the name and everything like that. I ended up finding two different women from totally different areas, backgrounds, everything. But we, all three of us have very similar stories. And they both were like, Zahava, we're on the bandwagon, we're doing this with you. And they were incredible in getting it started and getting it running. And so when I saw that we were like for the people, by the people, you know, like the more that we're women who are going through this, catering to other women who are going through this, the more commonality that we have, like that's what gives us the fuel to keep going. You know, right, men and women are so different. Yeah.
And the understanding, particularly in the Orthodox Jewish circle, women are given or implied to have a specific role that is, you know, very similar across the board. So having that validation, you know, when the holidays are coming up or talking about Shabbos and Shabbos prep or dealing with children or dealing with infertility or all of these things, like, I think there's a difference between having those struggles, having struggles with holidays, you know, when they're twice a year, rather than, you know, having similar obligations and religion is something that plays such a huge part in our lives that the commonality there can be like very reassuring. I knew like during Pesach, like I call it like during Chol Hamoed, like I called friends and was just like, I can't. And they're like, oh, I know. And it's just, it's extremely validating to have people that actually get you. It's like having,
exactly,
like an example is like, there's a group in my community that's like stay at home moms. Mm-hmm. And they do get togethers, you know, once a week or once every other week. And you know what? They're going through the same types of struggles because they're moms and they're all staying at home and they're from and they want to learn. So they do like a learning thing together. Here, it's a little bit more specific because it, like we said before, you know, mental illness is not something as tangible as or visible. So it's much more complicated. Have you, like, what is one of the struggles or some of the struggles that you guys discuss? It's phone calls, correct? Like a phone.
Yeah. So we do all different types of things now. We've expanded, but just to respond about that and the commonality, like what I love about Chazkenu, it has that balance of like, we all have something in common, but there's such a like vast difference between so many people in the outer appeal, like whether it comes to, we have women who are 18 years and up. We have women from all backgrounds in the Judaism as a whole, a lot of Hasidim, you know, we have women who are unaffiliated, we have everywhere in between.
Oh, wow.
And we have all different types of diagnoses. And then, like I said, family members. So, you know, we have people who weren't officially diagnosed, but they have symptoms. You know, like there is such a, like I'm telling you, you come to one of, we have Shabbatons and we have live events as well. And when you come to one of them, you like literally feel like what it's going to look like when Mashiach comes, like from all four corners of the world coming together. And there's just so much acceptance and love, like all the outer appearances and everything, all the judgments are pushed to the side because everyone realizes like we have something inside, like we don't want to be judged. So why would we judge other people? Why would we judge each other? Like instead, we call each other Fezquino sisters. We're part of the family. Like, it's not an organization, like regular organization. It's really, it became like this real, like, sisterhood. Family like we never had. Like a sisterhood, exactly. Exactly.
I'm like getting very emotional while you're talking about this. I'm like not fully sure why, but like as you're talking, I'm like welling up being like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. and you're right. Like it is a sisterhood. Like we're already, you know, pretty much related because of, you know, coming from, you know, our forefathers, but you telling me, I'm actually surprised to hear that there are people who are unaffiliated, who are part of this organization. That's surprising to me. And I did not know that previously. I clearly made assumptions and I'm happy that you're dispelling them. And I heard about your Shabbatons and things from one of my followers. And is there a specific limit to the type of diagnosis that someone can have or symptoms to be, you know, invited, not invited, but like to say, oh, Cheskenu might be for me?
Yeah. So it's interesting. When we were first putting together our flyer and our brochure, we wanted to list like some examples of diagnoses that a person might have. And it was almost like we had to look at a book of like any possible diagnosis. So to answer that question, any sort of mental illness, and even someone who's not officially, doesn't officially have a diagnosis, but they suffer with emotional struggles and pain and they want to get help for it and they want to find other people who get it and understand, we highly recommend that everyone gets their, you know, has their own professionals. We actually, in certain part of certain programs that we have, we actually require that you have to have a therapist before you can get like a peer in our partner program where we set people up going through something.
When you finish
similar.
This thought, you're going to have to tell me more about that, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I legit thought you were only phone calls.
Yeah. No. So we have a bunch of things. You got to check out the website your husband created.
I know. I'm really slacking. I'll get on it when we hang up.
Yeah. So we do a lot of different things where anybody who can just, obviously a person has to come to the point where they could admit and they could know and acknowledge and accept that there are people out there that could understand and that I do have an emotional, mental illness. I have a mental illness and I'm still okay. And you know what? I'm not alone and I want to go get help. And it's really like, you know, there are people who could have mentors. There could be people who have rabbis. There could be people who have like tons of friends, but if they don't have people in their lives where like they can just say what it like, there's a big difference between being, you know, anxious about what's going on in the situation now, a lot of unknowns that were in the world. But to have severe anxiety disorder is a very different thing.
Yep, you know, preaching to the choir here.
Exactly, right?
Yep.
So that's what we're all about. It's really, and then the phone meetings, like you mentioned, like that's our flagship program. So we started our first phone meeting in March of 2016. So it's been 4 years and we now do it twice a week. We've been almost for 4 years. And what we do is it's similar to an OA meeting or a 12-step meeting, where we start off with a speaker sharing a personal story. And then we also have people, all different types of professionals, like anyone that's connected to mental illness. And also we even have rabbis who really are, you know, trained and knowledgeable in the mental health world have come to speak to us about all different topics. And then we open up for people to speak about what resonated with them, questions, and everything's anonymous. It's a, you know, free phone conference line. So that has been amazing because people, first of all, every single story, as much as you can always find a part of yourself in every story, right. Something you can learn from. And then obviously the professionals, we talk about so many different topics and it's very validating. You learn, you get education from it. You get like just this empowerment. And the way that we set up the meetings by a peer leading it is that it's not a dumping session. It's like, we're in it to, we're very real, but we're very much into giving chizuk, giving strength to each other. That's what Cheskenu is about. And then about the partner program. So we started that also around the same time where, like I said, there's such a combination of people where someone, let's say, who specifically wants someone in their 20s, like themselves, right. And you know, they have OCD. Yeah. Like, something similar, that, you right. know, let's say they're going through something.
You make shidduchim. You make the
make shidduchim. You got it.
You make the support shidduchim. It's beautiful. I love it. So they get to contact each other, like, on their own accord type thing? Like,
Exactly. They make up how often they want to talk. And, you know, but what we completely, like, encourage is that this is a give and take. You know, this is not someone to just, you know, the mentor or mentee. This is a partnership. Right. This is a give and take, which is great.
Yeah. No, I'm loving this because it's so, like, some things can be so important to people. Like, some people it like won't necessarily matter, the diagnosis. Some people, like, let's say people in dating age, and it's like, I'm having a really hard time, I'm dating this guy, and I don't know when to tell him at the right time that I have this diagnosis, how are you handling it? Or people that have similar diagnoses, like, I was once reached out to because there was somebody on this illness support group thing that wanted somebody who had Lyme disease and was like, I don't want to speak to anyone with an illness. I need to speak to somebody who has Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So I was very public about when I had Lyme disease. I was like telling my whole college, I was getting like my master's. Yeah. Like, oh, Barry, Barry Mitzman has Lyme disease. I can connect you with Barry Mitzman who has Lyme disease. Like, that was like the rest of my title. Cause I was like missing class. I was feeling sick. I was like, these are my whole process. It was a little much, but the fact that you do that for something so specific, like mental illness and what people need, that's very important. And if people don't have that, because it's like, okay, but like, you can be this rebbetzin or you could be this rabbi or you could be this mentor, but like, you don't know me, you don't know what it's like. Like, that's something that's like a gut reaction. And I know in my life, there are people that I cannot talk to about mental illness. So that's not on my radar. But if you have nobody that you can speak to about it. I'm lucky that a lot of my friends happen to be therapists. That's like one of the best parts about being friends with them. I'm like, can you psychoanalyze me for a second? They're like, sure. I'm like, can you be my therapist? No. Like, these are like the conversations we have. Thank God I have a wonderful therapist here in Nevada. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful for teletherapy right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were very ahead of the game, I think the past year or so, particularly now, like all these rabbis coming out and being like, yo,
I know.
If you need to do something, you do it, because mental illness is an illness and this is your life we're talking about. So like, don't mess around. That is unprecedented.
Yeah.
Especially from the names that have been doing it, you know, and just seeing people talk about it more and be more normal about it and have just like, oh, casual conversation. Like, oh yeah, because, you know, I've been suffering with depression for X, Y, and Z, and people not being like freezing and not knowing what to do.
Right. Exactly.
Really come a long way. But the fact that you were so ahead of that, like, I really, really respect that. And like, kol hakavod to you for like actually jumping on it when you had the opportunity, because, you know, all the people coulda, woulda, shoulda, they didn't.
Yeah. I just feel so grateful because, you know, I'm not by nature, you know, depending on my mood, you know, because in my situation, like, what was so amazing about it is, like, I had a lot of manic energy, you know, what got me to the hospital was my severe psychosis. So I did things with a lot of manic energy. But this came really at a time where it was, like, the depths it was, like, a depressive state, but it was coming from, like, I'm being real. I'm being me, you know? Right. And that was like, that's so freeing to me. Like, that I could talk about my mental illness, like I'm talking about my recipe for cheesecake, you know, like,
it's not I'm not going to say normal, cause you know, that's like the term, like, nah, normal, but like really, it's really unprecedented. I'll say that because even within the mental health spectrum, I think that there is underlying, I'm going to say something a little bit, you know, whatever here. It's a little bit of a hierarchy. I do think people do level mental illnesses and be like, okay, this is cool, this is not so cool, this is really not cool, and like, don't go near this. Which personally I do think is a problem, and I don't think people notice it as much. They're like, oh well, I mean, depression and anxiety is common, but like, you know, bipolar disorder or borderline or all these things, like that's a no-go, like don't talk about that, don't whatever. I think there's still a little bit of like a hush hush on certain levels of mental illness. Right. Mental illness is mental illness. You can have, you can all have colds, but they're all different types of colds. There's like a million right. different types of colds. I'm not at the CDC. I'm making things up right now. Don't Google me. Don't hold me to that. But like, you know what I mean? Like people can get sick with the same symptoms and it can be a bunch of different germs. Like, how did you get to be so open about your, right. your bipolar diagnosis? Like, I'm in awe. Like, that's just it. I had
No, I mean, well, first of all, like, I think the reason why people are so quick to be like, oh, I don't even want to go there is like, it almost reminds me of like, as a kid, I had a girl in my class who was like, just totally, like, I guess you would call her odd, you know, like just in every aspect. And I remember hearing the word when I was a kid. She left like really soon after she came to the school, but I remember hearing the word manic depressive. Like that was like, you know, this we're talking about in the 90s. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what is that? You know, it was almost like she had this, like you said, like germ, like get away, yeah. you know?
The cooties. And
exactly.
She had the mental.
Then, like, first of all, besides the fact that I went through it myself, which was very ironic, but it's also like if people would only study, like, you know, we can see what's going on in the body of someone who has cancer or someone who has like high blood pressure, you know, these things like, oh, it could be, you know, it's very what you see.
It can be quantified. You
know? Exactly. So, but if someone would understand what's going on in the brain, if somebody has it, like, it would just be like, oh, like it needs rewiring. So this is why. And, you know, we had a talk with in one of our phone meetings about this from a psychiatrist who was saying how every single one of the names of mental illness is like completely off. Someone with borderline personality disorder is not someone who's like, oh my gosh, their personality is crazy. Like it's somebody who has been through like intense emotional angst that their whole world, their inner world is shaken and therefore right. they can't function like normally. But it's like, you know, how could you take somebody who like, let's say somebody, you know, they're righty. Like, so you say, oh my gosh, only lefties make sense to me, not righties. Like they're just, it's so not, I think it's also is that I was going to say, you know, how much it's so, it makes like, it's almost like that once somebody could understand you or even like accept you for who you are, it and like invalidate, it's such an amazing feeling that like, I feel like almost like we're in the world now where anxiety is like literally the oxygen that we're breathing.
Like, this is so accurate.
Right? So yes. It's like all of a sudden people are like, wow, feeling isolated, feeling anxious, feeling like
tightening in my chest, my breathing's off. Like, what is this?
Exactly. So it's like, it's almost like, you know, if you think about it like that, like there's nothing to judge. There's nothing. You know what I also say when you said the word normal? So I was thinking, I had a whole thing about how, well, I don't want to be normal. I want to be original. And like how you can learn from soy milk. Soy milk, the flavor is not original. It's not normal. It's original. Like we want to be original. But I was also thinking like somebody once told me normal is common. And people want to be common. Like why do you look for the trends? You want to be like everyone else. And right. I think that people with a mental illness, like they don't feel like everyone else. But you know what I want to say is that's okay. Like we don't have to be like everyone else. Like God made me like no other human being. And like, I just had to explore so much about myself that was beyond mental illness. And when you're talking about how I became open, I actually have a YouTube video that I put out with Refuah HaNefesh about why I chose to become open with my mental illness. And I found that like when I started talking about it, and talking, like, one of the things I said is that, like, would I feel guilt, like, would someone who has high blood pressure feel guilty that their blood pressure went up? Like, okay, maybe they could exercise more, maybe they could whatever, but they don't feel bad. Like, so when I look at the things I did when I was not well, I'm not going to sit and be like, oh my gosh, like, judge myself by that, you know? And what's amazing is that all I have to do is talk to someone who went through it, tell them my whole life story, and I'm making them feel like $1 million. Like, that's what gives me the satisfaction about being open.
Okay, so that's amazing. Like, that's nothing short of amazing. And truth be told, this is the first time I'm having a discussion with somebody who is open about having a bipolar diagnosis.
That's pretty cool.
So, shehecheyanu for me.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm truly inspired by the fact that you've just resolved to take this challenge and not only run with it, but build with it. And
thank you. The
Jewish women of the world, on behalf of them, I thank you.
Thank you.
So if people,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
No, it what's amazing to me is, like, you know, I was I'm still, like, you know, I have both parts of me, but, like, I can be very, very quiet and, like, so have a lot of social anxiety. And people laugh at me. Like, what do you mean? You're, like, running this thing for hundreds of women around the world. Like, how can you be, like, having social anxiety? But it just shows that, like, when there is this, like, such a need, it just happens. And that's why I feel like anybody, like, if anybody would just look in and tap into what their talents can be and think about, like, what they why they had to go through such a thing, like, there is so much that we can do with the challenges we have that we can use to make an impact on the people around us who are going through the same thing.
Yeah, someone actually told me recently that the way she learned, I don't know what the source is, I don't take credit for this, but she said, find your biggest strength and your biggest challenge and put them together and make that your mission.
Ooh, I love that. I love that.
If you're, like, trying to figure out what you want to do and find purpose and meaning within your life and what your, you know, job probably is in this world, you think of your biggest talent and your biggest struggle, and you put them together and create something beautiful out of that. And I think that, you know, you created something incredible out of this struggle, and your motivation to do so is just amazing.
Thank you. No, it's like I think it's what brought me the most healing. You know, after I started Fescano, I had a baby. Now he's 2 years old, and I have not had a relapse, like, with my bipolar. You know, when I say I haven't had a relapse, I mean, I wasn't hospitalized, I wasn't severe. I always have bouts here and there. There's times where I get high, there's times I get low, but the fact that I could say that I was present with my baby, that, like, I wasn't sitting and talking about Mashiach and, like, doing all sorts of things in my own world, like,
wow,
that was, like, incredible. And I feel like it's brought me more healing than anything else I've ever tried. And I've tried a lot of different things in my journey of healing. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, a lot of times, you know, like, when Facebook came out, it was always like, oh, we're in the, or, like, my iPad, iPhone, this, like, it's such a conversation about, like, we're living in an I generation, a me generation, it's all about me, me, me. And I see it firsthand on a daily basis that the days that I'm thinking about how I can be helpful, and, like, that I have to give to 12 steps. They're very much into that, contrary actions, when we're so focused on ourselves, like, do the exact opposite, do something for someone else. So it's the biggest gift I can give to myself is to give.
So if people want to learn more about Chazkenu, hear more about it, see more about it, how can they look you up? How can they find the organization?
Okay, so we have a great website, which is www.chazkenu.com. Chazkenu is chazkenu.org. And we have Instagram account also, Chazkenu. And we also, my phone number, should I give it now?
Sure.
Do you have, like, a link or something? Yeah, so I give out my phone number. And now it's expanding, so we have some other people that you could speak to as well. So it's 314-346-7414. And yeah, that's really the best way. We also have an email, which is info@chazkenu.org.
Wow. I love that you just gave out your phone number.
I love that's it. Cool. I'm talking to someone who gives out a lot of information.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting, because I'm totally boundary oriented about my phone number, but I'm like, here's my whole life. Because don't ask me for my phone number. Yeah, I guess it's just the way we choose to see it. Well, Thank you so much, Zahava.
I'm excited
to have people hear this, and I'm excited to hear, you know, in a few months, in a year, you know, somebody coming back and being like, you know what, thank you so much for introducing me to Chazkenu. It changed my life. So I'm looking forward to that. And
me too. Thank you, Barry.
If that's changed your life, you got to message us, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Woman of Valor podcast. Make sure to subscribe at thewvlife.com as well as on your favorite podcast listening app. Follow us on Instagram at Woman of Valor Podcast.